Welcome to That's So Last Century, What We Wore 1950s to 1990s. In this podcast, you'll hear stories about all things fashion, from home dressmaking to professional tailoring, sewing and fabric shops, following the fashions, and what sustainable fashion means in this century. Voices have been drawn from Auckland Library's Oral History and Sound Heritage Collections. In this track, Wendy Moore provides her lived experience of fashion in the 1950s. Recorded in 2017 with Sue Bourbon for the Reichenberg Oral History Collection, she describes this time of poring over pattern books, searching out new fabrics, and home sewing. In this track, Wendy describes all layers of garments and fashion.
So coming into fashion in that era, along came full skirts, stiff petticoats, a bra called a torselette, which was a strapless bra that went down to the waist and was boned. So it pulled your waist in. It had hooks and eyes up the front. Look at your face. Hooks and eyes up the front to cinch your waist in and to push your boobs up. They would come in a half cup as well. So you'd wear these under these dresses with stiff petticoats. Well, the girls that had money could buy tulle petticoats with millions of layers of ruffles, but we would make our petticoats out of cotton, which we would then starch every Saturday morning, and then iron, so they were really stiff for the Saturday night dance. But nylon stockings and suspender belts were also in vogue, and these damn stiff petticoats with the starch would tear up your stockings. But they were lovely. And so the dresses were the full, to go to the dances were the full skirts, and then Tangy Natural lipstick was this amazing thing. It was a little tiny tube. And when you put it on, it was sort of no colour, and then suddenly it would turn pink. So it had this miraculous dye in it. And because I was a natural, very, very blonde, I always wore my mother's eyebrow pencil on my pure white eyebrows. My mother had a mascara that you spat on the brush and rubbed it into this block of stuff. Sure, you're probably supposed to dip it into some water, but she used to spit on it. And that was her mascara. That was the only makeup that was around at that time. There was a CoverGirl powder or something. And then hair, I wish I could remember the brand names. I would if I took the time. But there was maybe one or two shampoos. There were no conditioners or anything. My grandmother used to rub olive oil into my scalp because I had very dry skin and very blonde. So that was the early days. But then hair lacquer became available, which just set your hair like a lump of rock. So you set your hair on rollers and sat under a hairdryer. And then a bit later on, the teasing came in the big hairstyle. So you would backcomb or tease your hair, spray it like mad, so it would all sit up in this big bouffant thing.
So would you have that kind of equipment at home, like the hair dryer that you'd sit under?
Well, no. I used to sit outside in the sun with... I never went to a hairdresser. When I was a little kid, Mum sometimes took me up to the local barber, but no, Mum always cut my hair. Hairdressers, no, not at all. You got these rollers and then you sat out in the sun, or the vacuum cleaner hose was really good, in reverse. But as you happen to mention this, many years later, there was this wonderful gadget you could buy that was in a round case, and it was a plastic hood with a hose, and you plugged it in, and then you had your own hairdryer. So yes, that did happen. The fashions were beginning to be absolutely gorgeous. The different fabrics that were around, poly cottons and satin cottons and very brightly coloured. The silks were gorgeous. There was a thing called crimpoline. And crimpoline was a... You're nodding as though you've heard of crimpoline.
I've got this great crimpoline suit at home.
Oh.
One of my favourite retro pieces in my wardrobe. Mm.
Well, when crimpoline came out, that was magical because it just never creased. Of course, you couldn't iron it, but it was great to sew with. So all new fabrics were coming into being. Permanently pleated, we used to wear permanently pleated skirts and twin sets.
Was the influence mainly, would you say it was more American?
No, English, more English, yeah. We had... Really, I don't remember any influences from the States. Mm. We didn't have a TV, remember, so...
Right.
Except for comic books, which we weren't allowed to have, or we couldn't afford, I don't know. We used to go to the library every Friday night. But comic books, where I saw things like buckskin loafers and bobby socks and university cardigans and things. Well, we didn't have anything like that here. So, for me, I really was taken by all of this fashion stuff. And so, I can remember wearing a tight elastic belt under my school uniform so that when I tied my sash on my three pleated serge tunic, when I tied it loosely, it made it look as though I had a small waist because I had an elastic belt on underneath it. So I was clearly pretty focused on figure and fashion from an early age. That would have been like 12, 13, 14. Not around that time, I had a sewing teacher at school who was just the most glamorous young thing. And she would wear these very tight sheath dresses and stiletto heels. So I would make a lot of those, and we'd make them out of woolen fabric, which was quite scratchy, and then you'd line them with taffeta. So they were very tight, very fitted. I used to use Vogue patterns because the split up the back, there was a way of stitching a Vogue, a Dior pleat. Oh, there was tons of things, Dior roses that you'd make to go on your sash. Gosh, I could spend hours talking about the fashions. There were sheath dresses, there were tulip skirts, there were so many different styles. There were off the shoulder, square neck, backless. You could buy these wonderful bras that would hook onto your girdle at the back, your panty girdle.
What's a panty girdle?
A panty girdle was the next generation from a corset.
Right.
So when you wore stockings, nylon stockings, you had a corset with suspenders on it, and your stockings you hitched up to your suspenders. Mm-hmm. Now, corsets were all bones and things, probably from the Victorian era. But when I was in my teens, panty girdles came along. So panty girdles were these tight panties. They didn't have bones in them, and they had suspenders on them. And so you would hook your nylons onto your suspenders with your panty girdle. So it was an elastic pair of panties that came up to the waist. Well, when backless bras came in, and I had made quite a few backless dresses with very deep dips at the back, The bra was a regular bra, usually a padded bra, but at the back, instead of having the strap that went across the back, they had these bits of elastic with a hook on it, and you could hook those onto your panty girdle at the back. So you could wear these wonderful backless gowns, ball gowns and things. And
did you
have...
need to have someone help you dress? Or did you...
No, I don't remember that.
Work with mirrors?
No, you could just feel it. Just feel around the back. Instead of doing your hook up there, you just hook it down there. So from quite a young age, I used to go to school balls, and you'd always have beautiful ball gowns, usually brocade, chiffon, organza, always with hand-embroidered sequins and diamante and seed pearls and bugle beads, always with stiff petticoats underneath them. And by that time, I was beginning to make the voluminous tulle. We didn't call it tulle here, we just called it netting petticoats. Oh, they were gorgeous. And a tight cummerbund. Streetwear was sheath dresses, tight skirts, as they were called, blouses and twin sets, pearls, high heels. Later on, gorgeous Dior-influenced suits with the nipped-in waist and the peplum sticking out at on the jacket, tight skirts with the split at the back. And then pantyhose came in. Instead of having a girdle and suspenders and stockings, it was just all one thing. And they were made of this very sort of, oh, they were ladderless too. They were made of quite a rough plastic yarn or whatever. And they did, as I said, the big thing was they didn't ladder, because you could wear your stockings a couple of times and they'd ladder, you have to buy some more. But I had a boyfriend then, I was working at this stage, so I would have been about 17, who was in the advertising business. And one day, as a gift, he gave me this wonderful huge plaque and a mannequin's plastic leg, because he said my legs felt like plastic because of pantyhose, because of this weird feel they had. But pantyhose were brilliant, because not long after pantyhose, and now I'm really running ahead, mini skirts came in. And so you couldn't have worn mini skirts with. But there's a photograph of me in here with a really full skirt, stiff petticoat, wearing jiving with a guy, doing a big spin with my stiff petticoat straight out, my skirt straight out, my nylons, my suspenders, and hooked through my suspender, I have an elaborate garter like women wear when they get married.
Because you're anticipating that it would be seen.
That's right. But it's hooked under a suspender, so it looks really strange. It's so it wouldn't fall down. So the fashions, oh, I loved all of the fashions and the hairstyles and the makeup. And the shoes, oh, I was longing for my mother to let me wear heels. And that took a while. I had to wear court shoes with a little low heel. But my first pair of stilettos, you know, they were like 3-inch heels and, just a very important day in my life.
Did you have to practice?
I don't remember practicing.
Get into them and walk.
No, I don't remember having to practice. Stiletto heels and tight skirts, and I would totter up Marama Terrace, which was a steep terrace, to get the bus at the top, and your heels would often break, and you'd take them in to get them repaired.
And accessories were gloves and handbags.
Oh, yes. On Friday, to work, I would wear long gloves, elbow or even a little bit higher. And hats, oh, there were masses of wonderful milliners and hat shops, all different kinds of hats. Always wear a hat and gloves to work, only on a Friday.
Only on a Friday, because...
Well, Friday night you went out. Friday night the shops stayed open late. Milne and Choice on Queen Street, right across from Vulcan Lane. I think our first arcade opened up on Queen Street on the left-hand side. It was the street number, which it wasn't 246. Maybe it was 246. So you'd go shopping on a Friday night, but first you'd go to the pub, because they still close at 6 o'clock.
You can view the exhibition That So Last Century, What We Wore 1950s to 1990s at Tāmaki Pātaka Kōrero, the Central City Library, from 20th March to 13 July 2024. So grab your coat and grab your hat and head to town to enjoy a view of retro magazines, photographs, patterns and materials showcasing what we wore last century. Check our Auckland events for additional public programs.